Hey everyone, this is Scott, and my co-host is Joshua Marsh, and we want to say thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it here with us. Our goal is to provide you with insight about our lives, how we navigate it, and how our faith is that compass. We want to encourage you to pray more often, more consistently, and in all things. Talking with God is about just that, the conversation that you have with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is not complicated. We make it complicated. There's no special sauce to getting prayer right. So let's shed that stigma that talking with God is complicated. God, our Father, is there to listen to us in all seasons. Whether you are in a happy mood, or maybe you are facing some struggles and are angry at the world, or even God Himself, He is still there. So join us each week on Thursdays as we talk about our lives and how that relates to talking with God. Thanks for joining me here again on Talking with God. I want to say thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it here with me. We are wrapping up chapter 7 of Experiencing God. This chapter is all about how God pursues a love relationship with you. In the first part of this series, we learned that God created you for an intimate relationship with Him. Because sin causes a separation from God, God takes the initiative to draw you closer to Him. We also learned that whom you love, you obey. Our biggest relationship struggle with God is one of love, not obedience. In the second part of this series, we learned what God has to say about the love relationship you have with Him. And we learned that the Old and New Testament are connected by the same command. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy, saying, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." Everything in your Christian life, everything about knowing God and experiencing Him, everything about knowing His will depends on the quality of your love relationship with God. We learned that if this relationship is not right, nothing in your life will be in order. We wrapped up that with the simple fact, God wants first place in your heart. This week, we are going to start off with this idea. The Bible, its entire testimony, is about the pursuit of God's love for us. He created Adam and Eve and came to them in love with the desire to fellowship with them. He came to Noah, Abraham, Moses, the prophets, and more. Each time, God took the initiative. Moses did not seek out God. He was on the run for committing murder, hiding in Midian to be away from Pharaoh's wrath. God took the initiative with each person in the Old Testament to have a personal fellowship of love with them. In the New Testament, it was Jesus picking the disciples to be with Him and experience His love. He even came to Saul, a man who pursued Christians relentlessly and had them killed for following the way. Sin affects us so deeply that we simply do not seek God on our own. Romans chapter 3 verses 10 through 12 says, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." So I hope you can see that if God did not pursue us, we would never find Him. God tells us in several parts of the Bible, but I also like to use some of the less quoted books to show that God doesn't change His message. He is pursuing us always. In Hosea chapter 11, 1 through 4, God is saying, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws, and I bent down to them and fed them." God pursued Israel relentlessly in the Old Testament, time and time and time again. He would save them. The whole book of Judges is about that. He sends a judge. Israel turns their ways back to him. They forget what happened. They go back to worshiping idols. Another judge comes. They turn back to God. It was a cycle. But it didn't just happen in the Old Testament. The New Testament contains one of the most important pursuits in Christianity because the person God pursued, the one who answered his call, was Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul after his conversion. Paul wrote at least 13 books of the Bible, mostly letters that contain a breadth of knowledge that is divinely inspired, but it's also crucial to our understanding of the New Covenant and the growth of the early church. Now, if you're interested in Paul's conversion, you can find that in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. But Christ met Paul on the road to Damascus and revealed God's loving purpose for him. That reality is available to you, it's available to me, it's available to anyone. Now, we may reject or oppose God, but he has chosen us, he loves us, and if we meet him, he will reveal his eternal purpose for our lives. Jesus even tells the disciples plainly that he chose them, not the other way around. You can find that in John chapter 15 through 16. Peter did not elect to follow Jesus, nor did Simon or any of the other disciples. Their decision to follow Jesus was in response to the invitation. God, like he always does, took the initiative. And just so we're clear, I want to give a couple of other examples about God always taking the initiative. John chapter 15 verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." Matthew chapter 16 verses 13 through 17. "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" So it's just really interesting. I mean, Jesus is pointing out there, right, that there's no way that he would have had that knowledge except for the fact that God gave it to him. This is one that's a little bit more involved, but it still takes God's initiative to give that knowledge to Peter. Jesus made it clear that Peter did not figure out the identity, but his knowledge came directly from God. Man, he's just so good to us. See, he did not create us for a time. Our time on earth is short. It seems long to us, but it's nothing. We are here and then we're gone. He created us for eternity. Our lifetime on earth gives us a chance to become acquainted with him. We get the chance to experience things, and then we get to choose to enter a relationship with him. Our lives should not be shaped by the time we live here, where we can have a hardened heart. It should be shaped by our future, what we will ultimately be because of God's influence in our life. Now, for those of you that may be listening with a hardened heart, please know that God cares deeply for you. He actually calls out to you. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, he says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Faith in God, walking with him, experiencing him, gives you a chance to begin life anew. And that is a part of why we are considered born again. Knowing that it is very human of us to think, "Well, that's great, but I have baggage. How do I reconcile that?" Well, let's take a moment and look at what Paul said to the church at Philippi. See, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 14, he says this, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law. Blameless, basically, is what he's saying. And he continues, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there's a whole bunch of words there, but Paul simply is saying all of the life I lived before knowing Christ, while it taught me things, is rubbish. And there is some debate on exactly what Paul says there. He says something a little different than rubbish, the Greek word. As a side note, is skubala. What word Paul says there really isn't the point. It's just an interesting debate among scholars. His point is that before Christ and after Christ should be juxtaposed lives. We should be shedding that baggage and straining towards the goal of reconciliation with God. You can have that same relationship with God that Paul enjoyed, but you must begin by orienting your life to the purposes of God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 and verse 33 give us some guidance here, saying, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seeking the kingdom of God is the first step in understanding God and that he knows what is best for you. That guidance only comes as you walk with him and listen to him. You can take the initiative and spend devotional time with God. Meet with him each morning if you can, and at night. There is no perfect time, only the time that you do. Do not approach your time with God as a chance to read the Bible. Instead, approach it as an opportunity to get to know someone better, someone who loves you with an infinite love. Reading a chapter of the Bible is good, but doing that and then reciting a prayer will not lead you into a deeper walk with God. The relationship that God desires with you is dynamic and personal. God is not some entity that is distant and serene. He is fully invested in you. God relates to people in the Bible in personal, intimate, and practical ways. He provided for Hagar. He bestowed wisdom upon Solomon and more. Peter was rescued from prison by God. He gave the disciples authority to teach the world the way and overcome difficulties they had never known. As we wrap this up, I want us to reflect on something. If you cannot remember a time when your relationship with God was real, personal, and practical, you need to evaluate your walk with him. Go to him in prayer and ask him to reveal the true nature of your relationship. Seek intimacy with him. If you realize you have never entered a saving relationship with God, you should remedy that. If you are in that position, I'm personally happy to talk with you. You can message me on Facebook. I will call you, and we can spend some time with God together. That was a lot. But let's summarize what we've learned from all three parts of this chapter. We've learned that people do not seek God on their own initiative. God always takes the lead in pursuing a love relationship with you. This love relationship is real, personal, and extremely practical. More than anything else you might do, God wants you to love Him with your total being. He created you for that purpose. If your love relationship with Him is not close, everything else related to knowing and doing the will of God will be out of focus. When you find God is not working through your life to accomplish His purposes, focus on your love relationship with Him. God may be waiting until you respond to His loving invitation to a relationship before He works through your life to bless others. Fellow Christian, will you pray with me? Father, we live in some interesting times, and that brings a lot of distraction with it. It pulls us away from who you are and the work you stand for so easily. And yet, you are patient and you pursue us with a love that is reckless and perfect. Each one of us were created in your image so that we could share a love relationship with you. And you always take the initiative and are before us when we arrive at some situation that we may find difficult. Your peace and your wisdom and your love are bottomless. And it is those things that I pray we value. I pray that we seek the kingdom in all things and before all things and even during all things of our lives. It is you who helps to erase the worries of today, and you are already there for the worries of tomorrow. Give us the strength to not just be a reader of your word, but an advocate, and to take action with your word, who you are, and the gospel. You are so good. You're just so very good to us, and my heart yearns for others and myself to be able to answer that hard question. Is our love relationship with you real, personal, and practical? Until that answer is a firm yes from belief, we have much work to do. And I know that it can be accomplished only with devoted hearts and a firm belief that you are who you say you are. Thank you, Father, for the cross, the blood, and the Holy Spirit. It is because of those things we have all we need to fulfill a loving relationship with you. It's in Jesus' powerful name I pray. Amen.
Thank you again for taking time out of your day to spend with us. Can I ask a small favor? Okay, well, maybe it's a couple, but they are really important. First, can you subscribe to us? Second, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, can you give us a rating and let us know how we're doing? That helps our podcast get discovered. And if I'm honest, it makes us feel good too. Even if it's just a 1 star out of 5, it's crucial feedback so that we can improve. One last thing, can you share this with your family or friends? We're on all major podcast platforms, and even if it's just 2 people, maybe your whole Facebook or Twitter, whatever you're comfortable with, we're happy to have that. It would mean the world to us, because every little bit helps us get discovered and allows us to share God's message to the world. We hope that by sharing this prayer with you, that you are encouraged to pray more often and more comfortably. And most importantly, your relationship with God grows in talking with Him. If you'd like to share a prayer, check out the link below and contact us. We love you and hope that you visit us again next week.